Today's daf is daf Chof Dalid. We're holding on Chof Gimel Amud Beis. Zok Teher Lekamishna. Just as we said, as far as two women who were Nishbu, earlier on they say Amud Beis, where one can be Me'ida on the other, and that we don't have any questions in that case about perhaps worrying that they've sort of made a deal that each one is going to cover for the other one and to say that they're Teheris, so too, V'chein Shnei Anashim, we have a similar case where we have two men where they are unknown to us, in which Zeomer Kohenani v'Zeomer Kohenani, each one claims to be a Kohen, and based on that, Inan Ne'emanim, they were not going to give them Truma just because they claim to be Kohen. But, Bezman Shem Yidim Zed Zed, Bezman Shem Yidim Zed Zed, where each one says not only that he is a Kohen, but adds that the other one is also a Kohen, Harei Elu Ne'emanim. In that case, they are believed. Now, this is how Rashi understands it. In other words, that we're talking about not only that he's made on the other one, but he's being made on himself as well. Why that's necessary to say? So the Rashash understands the reason that he has to be saying it about himself as well is because if he himself can't say that he's a Kohen, we don't accept the aidas of the other person to say that he is. But there's others who learn that the only reason Rashi says this is because it's clear in the Gemara that we're talking about problems of gomlim, which means that we're afraid of a deal where each one is trying to do something for the other, and the only time that we're going to be worried of gomlim is where it's clear that this person wants to be a Kohen. Now, Rabbi Yehuda argues on this, and he says, you cannot simply rely on one witness, even if it would be a question of non-gomlim. With gomlim, it gets more complicated, but in general, in Malin Lekuna, Alpi Edechad, we cannot trust one witness to make somebody a Kohen. Now, exactly what we're referring to by making him a Kohen, that is going to be clear later on. Let us assume at this point all we're talking about is whether he can take Truma. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ebatai. That may be true, says Rabbi Elazar, but when do we say we cannot trust one person to make him a coin? Only b'makom she'esh orerin, only where there are people who are claiming that they've heard that he's not a coin. Avol b'makom she'ein orerin, if we don't have a problem, and we just simply don't know anything about him, then ma'alim l'kuna pirechad, we would rely on one witness. However, as we're going to see, that this is not repetitious of the Tanakhama, because what he's saying is that in a place where there would be no chashash of gomlim, we would do it al pi edechad. Whereas the Tanakhama said that we will accept it even in a place where there is a chashash of gomlim, which is our case. The Tanakhama that argues when Rabbi Yehuda and says Harei Elu Ne'emanim. Yet another shita has it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Asgan, Marlin lekuna al pi edechad. We will be ma'ala l'kuna al pi edechad. Now, what could he be referring to? That the Gemara is going to ask, what exactly could the additional argument be here? Because we've already covered, so it would seem, the gomlim issue. Says the Gemara, Kol Hani, we've had a whole perek now. And this perek, remember, is mostly tangential to the issues of Ksuvitz. I understand that we started off with the question of Pesha Sar Peshiter Libid Rabbi Yoshua, because after all, we had a lot of cases about questions if she was found not to be a betula, and she gives an explanation for why that's true, and we needed to explain what happens when both she and he have different explanations of what's happening, and both of them are tining bori. So the first Mishnah, good. But if just to illustrate, Pesha Asar Pesha Yitir, why did we have case after case that seems to expand that illustration into yet other issues? Ask the Gemara, Kol Hani Mishnayot Lamali, what is the point of all of these various cases of Pesha Asar Pesha Yitir? So the Gemara, we do. Tzrich. Because the Itana, if we only would have had that first Mishnah that said, Moda Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yeshua is a moda in that case where he says, well, actually, my field used to belong to your father, but I bought it from him. Perhaps we could say that the reason that we would say over there, Pesha Asar Pesha Yitir, and that even Rabbi Yeshua would be willing to go along with it, is Mishum de Ika Drora de Mamona. Rashi learns this to mean, even though there is something pulling you directly that will cost you money if it's not clear that you're going to end with the words, and I bought it from him, and therefore it's reasonable to assume that the person who came in to say this field was your father's meant initially to complete that statement by ending it, and I bought it from him. So over there I could say it's a Pesha Asar Pesha Yitir. But in the case of Edim, where you have witnesses that say, that's the next Mishnah, Ketav Yadenu Uzev, Anusim Ayinu, Ketanim Ayinu, and so on, where over there, Leka Dror de Mamona, there was nothing indicative in the opening statement that would lead us to think that necessarily they're going to end with the words, but we were Anusim, or anything like that. So initially they might have come just to be Mekayim the Shtar, and then suddenly said, We don't really like the way the guy's looking at us, so let's change our testimony. So maybe over there, Imelo, maybe we cannot say that they were anusim, because there was no drawer of the Mona that forces us to say that initially this is what they meant. This is how Rashi learns drawer of the Mona. The Tosfos understands the meaning of drawer of the Mona, at least the recording of Rabbi Yochanan, to mean there is something Momon that causes us to accept what you're saying, that pulls us because of the monetary issues, and that thing would be the fact that it's real estate and you're muhzak in this real estate, and that's what it's a reference to. In any event, but let's say that it would have said even the case of the Edim, so you'd think, well, okay, so for there, without drawer of the Mona, for sure, we're drawer of the Mona, right? No, not right. Because Etanad Be'edim, I would say, that's Bishum Dili Alma. Look, these Edim are unrelated to the case. They're basically objective people. Over there will accept Pesha Asash and Pesha Yitir. And we have an understanding that then why in the world would they change their Edis unless it were true? But Iyu, Aval Iyu, when he started saying that the Sada belonged to this guy's father, where it's all for his own benefit, I mean, if he's going to change it, and it's he's going to say, actually, I bought it from him, then perhaps not. Although maybe we shouldn't believe him. And if you want to tell us both of these dinim, where both of them, of course, the Edim and the guy who says that this belonged to your father, both of the cases are Mormon cases. You know, the third case, which is a case of Eshet Ishayiti, where over there it's very Chomor, where over there you're talking about Isra. Maybe we don't rely on a Peshas or Peshita for Isur, and therefore we wouldn't be mad to the Eshet Ish. Kamash Malan, that when she says, I was an Eshet Ish, Eshet, even there I am, she would be an Emana. Now you may ask, as the Ritva does, then why not write only the case of Ishatish? I might have said that when it comes to monetary issues, because over there we're always have a problem of removal of a person's ownership to give it to somebody else, so perhaps we don't say Pesha Asar Pesha Yitir against saying Uki Mamona Becheskes Mare, leave the money in the hands of the one to whom it belongs, and therefore we would need also this case. But how about the last part of that mission? The Nishpeti V'Torani seems to be for sure. I mean, of course, we had a machlokas about how that Mishnah was constructed. But let's take it easy first. I mean, we have the last case of that Mishnah, where certainly if I'm believed to say Eshet Ishayiti and now I'm a Grusha, I should be believed to say Legabi the Kahuna that I'm Mutarit, because that's a lesser Isser, not to mention the fact that we're Mekil by Yeshvuya. So over there, why do I need to know the case of Nishpeti V'Torani? Now, one possibility is that the last part of the Mishnah that says Imishni says Bo Edi Arezu Lotet say is only referring to the last part. So then I need that piece to tell me that part. So that's the first teretz that we use. There says the Gemara Mishum the Kabbalah Misne the Imishni says Bo Edi Arezu Lotet say. So I need to mention that part. So, well, but that's only if you hold like the Mandi Amar who says that the closing of the Mishnah was said only on the last piece. So then I need to mention the last piece to tell me that even if the Edim show up afterwards, that's still Lotet Sei. So Henicha Laman Dematin La Seifa. But how about Laman Dematin La Resh, that even vis-a-vis the Yisra Veshet Ish, we also would say Lotet Sei. Even Lotet Sei Meheter Arisha. So then what would be the point of adding the case of Nishbeti? Obviously in that case it's Mutin. So there, Maikel Meima. Ah, you're right. The truth is, I really don't. But you see, I want to introduce the other level of ne'emanut of the next Mishnah. Bishum de Gaboy Lamitne, Shtei Nashim Shinishbu. Yeah. But what do I need that case? And if there's Shtei Nashim Shinishbu, itself Lamali. Because, I mean, Lamaisa, what are you going to tell me? It doesn't explain. That I need to know, obviously, a big Kiddush, that each one is ne'emanut on the other one. I know that an evident Shifcha ne'emanim in the Mishnah upcoming. So that clearly includes Anisha. So what do I need to tell me? So over there, why do I need that particular case? Because Maudatema Nechush Lagomlin. I might have thought that in a case where each one is Me'ida on the other one, there I got a serious problem. Because I clearly have grounds to believe that they have made up to cover each other. Kamash Volan, that we're not even Chayshian Lagomlin. Okay, so then the next Mishnah says the same thing. So the Shnei Anashim, which is the Mishnah we just learned. So why do we need that? V'chein Shnei Anashim Lomali. Ah, that's Bishum, the Kavoy Levitnei Pukta, the Rebbe Yehuda Rabbanan. I need to know that even though when it came to the Mishnah about Shvuya, we didn't find a machloket. But that's because of Shvuya Hikilu. So part of the Hikilu may be that Achai Shlagayim, and indeed there's no machloket in that case. But in the case where somebody wants to be Neman as a Kohen, So then over there, we have a machloket. So how could I not say that Mishnah and lead you to believe that everybody is moda, that in all cases we're not chashin and ledomim? We are chashin and ledomim. So at least according to this machloket, I need to know plukta derbiyot of Rabbanim. So basically, the Mishnah is constructed around the issues of varied levels of ne'emanut, whether I'm relying on nigu, eid echad, kula for heter for kahuna, and so on and so forth. And each one of these Mishnayot adds another dimension. And so Mamela, the Perek was structured in this way. And by the way, we noticed on our own that we kept arriving at, everybody was asking about the next level. So the truth is that it's very well structured in terms of teaching new levels of the Ne'emanut.
And would like to
give better. No, by the way, I don't know who sits. Scott isn't here. Okay. No, it's fine. He's usually on time, actually. If he's not here, he's not here.
But still, he's sick when he comes.
We'll see. Is he going away for Sukkot? Okay, so now we have an idea of what we're looking for overall in the Masechet, in the Perek. So, Tana Rabbah. The Braita says, now getting back to our circuit, Ani Kohen v'chaveri Kohen. Somebody says, I and my friend here are Kohanim.
Who's he speaking to?
Basin.
Yeah. Why does he need to identify himself as a...
You'll notice that I mentioned in the Mishnah that each one's also saying that he's a Kohen. In the case where each one is testifying to the other one.
Why b'chlal?
That's an interesting shaila. Some learn that if he himself is not claiming that he's a Kohen, so then we're not interested in hearing what somebody else has to say. The guy himself is saying, I don't know anything about my Yehudas, and we don't believe another person. There are such cheetahs, but that's why we're assuming that all of these cases the other person is claiming. But otherwise, the idea is that we need to see what the Dinus of Gabi Goyim went. Because wherever we're going to be afraid that two people have made a deal, so the more indication we have of an interest, as we're going to see, of the other party, the bigger condition is that we will believe, indeed, that other person. Let's see, we're going to develop this thing.
Why is he testifying as well?
We're going to see. No, we're going to see. There are really a number of different issues. There's Achilas Truman. The truth is, there's many different issues. There's Achilas Truman de Rabban. There's Achilas Truman de Raisa. There's Achilas Kachin. There's Yichus, which generally we're more machmir. We require two women first. Witnesses for Malin LeYuchsin, which is to be able to marry into Mishpacha Takuna, as we saw earlier. And then there's Inyanim of Aveda itself. These things are all interrelated, because the question of how we will assume one level from the next is going to define what the lowest level of ne'emanut is. That's about what we're going to engage in right now. That's also negaz. We'll see. We're going to get to that too. It's still well constructed. So let's give it some time. Okay, so what is this person believed in to say that another guy is a kohen? He's ne'eman la'achilo b'truma. Yes, we do trust him for truma, but because, as we saw earlier many times, ma'aleh asu b'yuchasin, that when it comes to the question of assumptions vis-a-vis Yichus, we make takanot that you require two witnesses. So he's not believed for him to be accepted as a Kohen to marry into a Mishpacha Miuchaset. Ad Shiyu Shlosha. In this case, we would need not two people talking about each other, but three people, where you have two out of the three Me'idim on one, two out of the three made him on another, and as Rosh Hashanah points out, two out of the three made him on a third. We need two Edom despite the fact that they're all gomelim.
Right.
Okay, but at least we have, in that case, two witnesses. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, forget about the question Laseo Isha. The first statement was also wrong. Even for Achila Truma, you cannot feed a person Truma unless you have three in which Shnayim are made him alzeh, Vishnayim Armaidim Azeh. So what does that mean? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, we will not accept even the Gabi Truma where we do not have a takona that requires two in terms of yichus. So what's all of a sudden the problem? Why can't we just have an Edech of being Neman over your free suri? Why would we need two witnesses? So our initial assumption is that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, especially based on the context, is that they're arguing about the Chashin and the Gaimlin. So that normally I would have accepted it, Rav Yehuda would have been perfectly happy. The problem is that everybody talking about everybody else is a little too suspicious. So therefore he's saying in this case, even to be Michael Truma, I also require two witnesses that if you want to include the Chashash of Gomuim, then you're going to have to talk about two out of three. But one person for Gomuim we will not accept. So apparently the Rabbanan are not Chayish LeGomuim. The problem is that this contradicts a well-known Mishnah where we have a different type of Gomuim, which is much more sophisticated, in which they seem to reverse the sheet. It's not. You've got now two wagons owned by two different people that are coming into town, each one with his donkey loaded with tefua. Now, you go over, you want to buy some of this grain. It's not evident, at least at this point, it's not evident that these people are interested in selling grain. They're travelers. You go over and you tell one of the guys, I'd like to buy some of your grain. And he says, you know what, you don't really want my grain. You know, there are medications, but mine you don't want. You want the other guy's grain. I'll tell you why. First of all, you should know, Shali Chadash, mine, now, this doesn't mean mine is Chadash, and therefore is also Mirais, until that promise. Amen. Rashi is Dechadat, although there are those Shitas who say this. But Rashi's approach to the Sukkia is, Shali Chadash, mine has not yet dried and aged properly. So, you know, I'm just on my way, basically, to store it, and I'll be selling next year. But this other guy that was in come into town with me, I noticed that his grain is good quality. Very yashan. Not to mention the fact that Shalia and Omet Ukanaman haven't even taken off Shemot Masrot yet. But his is all ready to sell. You don't want to buy from me. So Shalia and Omet Ukanaman, this guy looks like a very reliable fellow. I mean, if we're going to trust anybody, who should we trust but a guy that casts dispersions on his own Sora? Nonetheless, Eino Neeman. Obviously, he's not Neeman. Because even though he seems to be so honest, our assumption is that in the next town they switch hats. So everybody takes his turn selling in each town. One guy is the honest guy, and the other they're Jewish. So because of that, we can't trust him. So Taina the Chachomim. So that means over here the Chachomim are more concerned for Chashin and Legomim. And this seems to be a much more sophisticated level of Chashin and Legomim. Right now we don't see anything in front of us that makes us think of Chashin and Legomim. And nonetheless, we find the Rabbanan of Chashin and Legomim. And it's Rabbi Yehuda who says we're not Chayish Legomim. How do you explain that? Omer Avada Marava Marava. That's not explainable. It's ridiculous. It must be Mukhlefes Hashita. We've gotten confused somewhere or other in the Mishnah and the Braita. But what Rabbi Yehuda says, I mean, it's that it's Chayishin and Legomim in all cases, or what the Rabbanan say the opposite. Rabbi, I don't know. There's no way out of this problem. Says Abai, there is a way out of the problem. Le'olam lo tipoch. Because what you're talking about over here now, this is Rashi's riot. That when it said Chadash, it can't be literally Chadash, which would be an Issur D'oraita, right? Huh?
They don't address it.
So therefore, what it's saying over here is, since the only issue that was relevant, halakhically speaking, was whether it's mitukan or not, and this would be, normally, even without the testimony, I would have a right to purchase from the Amoretz, were it not for the Rabbanan Stakona of, do not purchase grain from an Amoretz, we call that Mai, so until I take off Maaser, okay? So, since that whole thing is a very big chumrah, because the truth is, Rov Amei Haaretz are mastering, so we find many kulot that we are knowing when it comes to Demai, and this is one of the kulot. Bidmai hekilu. And therefore, in this case, Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the problem? You'd be so machbet, Chashin Legomim, for a shaila of Demai. By Demai, they make a lawsuit. It's very interesting. There is a sheet that says that Chadash is also talking about minus Chadash, and that the reason that we say, Bidmai hikilu, but this is a diorita, is because we have a rov amiar, it's a very nizar and chadash. It's a sheet of the Rav, actually, in the Pirush of the Mishnah, which everybody is doyach amiar, for many reasons. So certainly, Demai includes the fact that the original thing is a takona, not simply because we have a rov. Okay, but in any event, we'll take Rashi's approach, very simple. He's talking about the quality of the grain on the one hand, perhaps to mislead us into thinking it's not this guy, and therefore, to actually get us to trust the other fellow for Truma to Masrot. He shouldn't be trusted because he's an Am Haaretz. If you don't mind paying another 10%, you could be Metekin yourself. The question is, can we rely on it? He's telling us that we can rely on it if you hold that there's no Kashash, in this case, in the domain. So that's the Machlokes. Obviously, there's always what to do about it.
Not with Chodesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not with Chodesh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah?
The other kind of
Chodesh. Good way.
Right, exactly the same. Next year. Says Rava, you know. you're asking, what are you doing? You're answering one half of the problem. You're telling me why Rabbi Yehuda is not a contradiction. That wasn't the whole problem. The problem is, why did they reverse the Shittah? So the more you're going to answer Rabbi Yehuda, the worse you're going to make the Rabbanan. I don't understand. You can't address half of a problem like this. So says Rabbi, what good is your answer? The Rabbi Yehuda, that was the Kasha. The Rabbanan, wasn't a Kasha. When I'm asking you a Shittah that's reversed, you can't talk about half of it. Ela, let's go through this again. Rabbi Yehuda, lo Kasha. I'm ready to accept what you're saying about that. Why doesn't that make things even worse for Rabbanan? I'll tell you. The Rabbanan, lo Kasha. For another reason. We have a precedent which Rav Chama Bar Ukva gave us an indication of greater chashash because of the fact that we had right in front of us an indication of a problem of gomel. This is how Rashi understands it. Hachanami, kishekli umunato biyado. The case, Rashi learns, of the chamar that we just had, is talking about where we peek into his wagon. The guy's got a scale, and he's got the weighing little packages, half kilos, kilos, and so on. And he's saying, no, I'm just very, very suspicious. So over there, indeed, we have grounds to believe that there is an immediate plan at hand, and that we don't trust him. Now, the evident question is, and if you have another Kohen, and each one is saying, I'm a Kohen, that's not the same thing. I mean, this case, the reason we felt that this case was a more sophisticated case of Hashim and Legamon is because we had to read into their motivation. The case of the Kohen, we don't even have to read. It's evident. Each one is saying what the other one is. Why isn't that a much more powerful gomlin? So what we have to say, this is very Nogei Lalocha, what we have to say is, the difference is, the usability of the gomlin. In other words, over here we know that the guy is going to sell. He wants to make money off of the other person's gomlin. When it comes to the Kohen, we have no indication that he needs to use the fact of being a Kohen. So according to which, Ein Hachinami, some of the Rishonim suggest, that in the case, let's say, where we had the Shtei Nashim, so over there, if we had a Kohen that was right in front of us, that she's making eyes at, that would be the equivalent of Kli Umanato B'yado. Because there we have an immediate chashash, we see what's going on. So seeing what's going on in terms of the gemila, the edut itself, is not as ma'ora chashash as the usability of what's going to come out of it. So if we would ever have reason to think that there's a specific point in mind, I want to get married to a kohen, we wouldn't believe it based on that, because maybe over there chashir legomim, even where the rabbanon elsewhere said we're not chashir legomim. And the question is, maybe even by shvuyim, perhaps we'd have that chashash. Because we never saw it, b'shvuya yikilu, to see that there's no chashash of gaimim, kishe kliyumunato, so to speak, b'yada, which would mean the Kohen lover is b'yada, would be kliyumunato, equivalent. Anyway, that's how Rashi ends. Tosfos has a completely different approach, in which the kliyumunato is not explaining why we believe the case of, don't believe the case of Chamar, it's explaining why we do believe the case of the Kohen. And it's talking about that we see that he's using only Kalim that are not Makabal Tuman.
He acts like a Kohen.
Who the heck walks around with stone implements out of the Stone Age when he can get something as bad as Home Depot? He's either a tour guide or a Kohen or both. Yeah, okay. We're not talking about it. So, Maman, we have indications that he's believable. Now, Lemaisa. We got a serious problem over here in general with the whole sugya. Because the case that we're asking from is a case in which neither individual is believed even without the chashin and the gomel. So it's an absurd situation. You have two amei haaretz who are not believed when it comes to testimony for demai. Right? Versus the other case where if it wouldn't be for the fact of the gomeling, we would believe them. So how can you possibly ask for a question from a case where, of course, there's not the initial ne'amanut for somebody who's an amahoritz to tell me that this guy's tua is kosher. From a case where if it wouldn't be for the gomelim, everything would be fine. I mean, over here, we're trying to use the apparent honesty of this guy as a reason why we should believe him, where normally we wouldn't believe him. You're asking that as a kasher? You're saying that Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't, it can't easily say, gentlemen, I'm very, very sorry, but I'm certainly not going to use a show that people are putting on to make him Neman. All I'm saying is, I don't say that because this might be a show, we should therefore make him not Neman. I mean, isn't it obviously different? So it's a very, very striking problem in the sugya, which all of the Achronim speak about, and the Rishonim don't speak about it. The Achronim all speak about it. The Ribki Vegas approaches, and he's been dying this for the whole sugya. He says, do you notice the way Rava spoke about everything from the beginning? Ella to the Yudah, the Yudah, the Kasha. Rabbonim, let's go back, I'll say over the Teretz, that the Kasha was not from the change of Sheet. Obviously, I can explain the change of Sheet. The Kasha was from the relative change of the Sheet. Why would it be that initially we have more of a Chashash on the part of Rabbi Yudah for Gemli, less of a Chashash on the part of the Rabbonim, and now reverse that? And that's what Rava was saying. What's the matter with you giving an answer? I don't need an answer. If it would only be a problem, Rabbi Yehuda, the answer is obvious. You're wasting your time. The only problem was that we had a reversal of general Natiya, one being more machmer about little plays and play actings, and one being less chayshish. So why all of a sudden should they reverse the shittas? That and only that was the problem. So it means that we have to inject new elements, which maybe don't have to do necessarily with the play acting. Okay. Which is better, if indeed it's Tosfos' approach, with other reasons for belief. But, I mean, we can't walk by the sugya without pointing this out, because otherwise it seems outrageous on the sugya. Where was Rukhama Bar Ukva's initial explanation of Kliyum and Atobi Adog that we're borrowing here, we're lifting it out of one case that he explains in the Mishnah, and inserting it here, either according to Rashi in the Mishnah of the Kamarim, or according to the Tosfos in the Mishnah of the Kayadim? Oh, it was in the following. That's not. When it comes now to Inyonim of Taharot, this is a mission in Masechet Taharot, where we have a question of Chashash, of Nigia, by an Amaretz. Again, an Amaretz in this context means someone who hasn't taken on particular Chumrot, vis-a-vis Tumah V'Taira. So, the mission says like that. Hakadar, you've got a Chaver, who is Makbed on Tumah V'Taira, and he is a pottery seller. Then he's going around with his wagon. He sets down his pots. And he goes off of the road to take a drink. He doesn't see his pots for a moment. And he comes back. The halacha is that we have to be afraid that perhaps someone walked by and fiddled around in the pots that were outside. And those, therefore, may have indeed come in contact with an amaretz. And because of that, he was matami. So now he has to worry about that. But I asked more about Tanya Elu Be'elu Tameot. We asked, what about the stira in the Braita that says that, no, the whole thing would be Tamei. Comes along Rabbi Chama Barukva to explain that you need to distinguish between cases Rekli Umunato Biyadot, where we've got an indication that he's selling, not just transporting. So it's talking about over there, he's got these little... holders that hold the pot up so people can see it, and little stickers that say how much it is. It's okay. Clearly this guy is selling. If he's selling, people don't hesitate, even though the guy isn't there. Same thing you would do. A guy's got stuff out. You look through the merchandise, you figure he's coming back any minute, and you sit there, you look through everything. So why wouldn't you touch the pnimiot as well? So over there, indeed, you have to be choshesh. So, but if there's no indication that he's selling, then... you don't have to be chayshish.
Why isn't it a sfeik sfeikah?
A suffix or something? Yeah. You have to ask about suffix or shukar abim and so on over here, so let's not deal with that at this moment. There's different types of sfeikos. Hello, hadik's non. But what about the Mishnah? There's a third case, which is apnimiot orot vachitzonot meot. That case, where you have the chitzoniot, we have now, what is the case? In the Mishnah. Comes along now the Braita to say they're both Tmeot. Tainas Rechama Barukva. If you have Koyana Kome Mashmishotbo, so then you've got a problem. But otherwise, no. What about the Braita that says that if you don't have such a problem, then it'll be able to Torah? So now where do you get the middle case? I don't understand. In the case of Elevela Torah, says Rechama Barukva, of course. Would you go poking around? Somebody left pots on the ground, you're going to go poking around in them.
He does it up.
The owner was me.
where you have no indication that the guy is selling, you're not going to touch his pots. Therefore, what he seems to be saying is either they'll all be tomatoes or they'll all be tyros, but that leaves the Mishnah now in a pickle. So how does now Rav Chaim Baruch understand the Mishnah? So El Hadit Nan, Apnimiot Torot Vachitzoniot Tomeot. So now Mamonashach, I mean, if Kliyum Minato, they're all going to be tomatoes. If ain't Kliyum Minato, they're all going to be Torot. Echimashkach, Atlan. Ah, that is a whole different case. You'll understand. That's talking about where you put down the pots that they're semich al rishut harabim, and because of the fact that mishum chifufei, you have over here a problem of chifufei rishut harabim. Basically, what you normally have, or actually have in the rova quite a bit of, is where you put up little amudim that are just like a foot or so high, just enough to take off your fender when you back into them, which are there. Interestingly enough, they claim it's not there for the car industry, it's there to protect the walls, so they shouldn't bang into them. But they used it.
In the time of the Mishnah, nobody parked within the walls, I'm sure.
That was for this reason.
So what they would do is they would put up these little foot-high amudim or so, which we saw a lot of on the second Shabbat, to protect, really, the people that are walking, you have in the entrance road into the old city, they put up this little... A place to protect you from the traffic, basically, or in the cynics say, a place where you can get smooshed easier by the cars that go by against the poles.
They're amudim, though. They're not things sticking out of the wall for the
moment. No. They're amudim, and he sets it down on the amudim. But the problem is that because the traffic often pushes you into that area, so what happens is now people walking by, although they're not interested in touching anything that isn't theirs, remember the begadim of the Amorites are also considered to be tumim nidras. If they go, let's say the coat gets caught over the pot and goes into the pot a little bit, that's going to be the time from the inside. Because we're talking about over here, Kriferes, the time in the Avira. Because of that, you have another issue over here, not because necessarily anybody's going to be interested in touching it. So we really have three different cases where there's no chashash of chifufe, but we got to worry about, do people bedafka go to look at the pots, or do they not go to look at the pots? There's either kuleta or kuletomi. If you have a chashash of chifufe, so then it depends, basically, if it's in a place where the begodim may have fallen into the top.
All the kadarim have to be tzaddikim. Ever buy a pot from an arich?
Well, if you're one, you're also going to buy from one. As the Gemara Chagiga said, not only will he tell you his is kosher, he'll say yours is tzaddik.
And mine.
And his is star.
But this is a coin kadar, yeah.
Hmm?
His kadar is a coin, yeah.
He's a chaver.
Yeah, he's a chaver.
And they
wouldn't use
the clothes
in which he's out. Okay. Well, he sat down for a second. He needed to run and just take a drink. He turned to the back for a moment and didn't notice whether the begodim went over. So we're telling him, in that case, you have to be chayish for the begodim.
In the other cases, at least, is it tumah
derabanan
we're talking about?
When
it's
tumah derabanan? Why is it tumah derabanan? I mean, it's our takana, but it's big damn one. Yeah. Okay. You never tell them.
Never
passive.
Yeah. Okay. I'm saying if you have to worry about a snake spitting into your, what do you call it when you're not looking? Somebody passing his clothes over is useful.
V-Bison. But you know what? This whole thing could be completely off the wall. We made an assumption initially, because of context, we made an assumption that the whole issue over here was the question of whether we're Hashin and the Gomri. There may be a completely different issue here. It may well be that actually the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan vis-a-vis the Ne'emanut for the Kuna is nothing to do with Gomlin. It has to do with all the other question. The argument is whether Mali Mitru Mali Yuchasim Kamiflaget. Rabbi Yehuda may well hold that if a person sees someone eating Truma, that he can be made on him, that he's a kosher Kohen, and then we will on that basis accept him for Yuchasim as well. If that's the case, then our Takana for Yuchasim, which requires two in order to be Malul Yuchasim, is going to now have to start at the level of the Truma. And that may well, that has nothing to do with Tachin Lagomlin. He may simply be saying, you always need two people to be made for Truma because of the Chashash will be Malul Yuchasim. So why? We can't ask from that case to the case of the Chashash of Gomlin. One had nothing to do with the other. So there, the Rabbanan are saying, nonetheless, there's no din of Mali Mitruma Yochasin. We'll ask a guy, what makes you think he's a Kohen? He'll say, because I saw that he eats Truma. Big deal. Saw that he eats Truma. We'll say, it doesn't matter. Now, the truth is, that this whole thing is very strange. Every time the sugya of Gomen comes up, you need to ask yourself the obvious question. Why don't you first make up your mind what you want, and then make up the takana whether you are Malin or you're not Malin? I mean, it's ridiculous. Guess what? We all were Malin, so therefore you need the two Adam and the Truma. If you don't want there to be two Adam and Truma, so then just say, ain't Malin. Well, how does it already come up? That's a given. How did that become a given? So Tosis explains that the truth is, beneath all of this lies the question of how much we have to be choshesh for a Beis Din that might be to'er in this issue, right? So in other words, if you're chayish, that maybe someone will be oyel l'truma l'yus, and therefore I cannot now make a takana that is going to cover cases, because this is such a popular issue. Yuchsin is a popular issue. Truma is a popular issue. It comes up all the time. So I can't control it. If I can't control it, then I need to accept the fact as a given that, all right, you know what, go ahead and be ma'alem l'truma l'yuchsin. But if I do that, then I have to demand, if I want two eidim for yuchsin, then I'm going to need to demand two eidim for truma as well. Right? But it's not as if there's some other halacha, which is a given one way or the other, truma l'yochsin, obviously. It's a question of what we feel competent to be sholed over, what is the best takana. It may well be that we'd rather not be mafsid the guy in truma, and rely on an eid echad for isurim. But we also want to make sure that we don't ruin our takana for yuchasin. So it's basically a question of judgment as to how competent the Bate Dinim, because this could come up, some small town is going to determine a yuchsin goes from place to place. Somebody's going to be matir, someone for them, that's it. I mean, now we've got generations of people that are not miyuchasim, that are going to be miyuchasim. It's going to completely ruin the entire attempt to control yuchasim. I see the sukkah building is taking its toll, even on people that aren't building sukkahs.
The yuchasin is an issue just for takana?
Yeah, these are not necessarily mishpachot miyuchasot that will only accept people that would be kosher lakuna, even if they're not kohanim. I mean, we saw earlier that mishpachot miyuchasot be Israel and so on. You have a right to inscribe yourself if you have enough testimony as to your own yichus. Okay, so those mishpachos were marked there.
And I'm saying that the yuchas is not, has nothing to do with kohuna.
It does, and essentially that's what it has to do with. But because of it, it includes all other chashoshes, obviously, the sinus, mabzeros, kusim, and so whatever it is.
But this is a kohen who's looking to get married. He wants
right.
to get
into a mishpacha that is mak bidavka to marry miyuchas in the kohen. We'll get to that, you see. We're well structured here. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're not talking about taking off truma.
That's a separate
thing. That's tevel. Where they could potter everything. Here we're talking about eating truma. He's mentioning another thing, our president. Which, by the way, is also not so partial. Because an eved can also eat truma. So what does it help for a guy to be eating truma? Right. Mitzvah would say, yeah, he eats truma. Okay, so he's an eved. You want to buy him?
It's the first damn eved that's controversial.
No, so we have another problem over here.
Isn't that part of the idea of why we're Malay?
No. The real point is that in order to be Malay from Truma to Yuchsin, you have to bring a raya that they're Mechalek him Truma without his Adon being present. That was all that at the Gorin. In which case, it's not the Achila per se, that's the raya, which really throws a monkey wrench into this whole thing. Because then the fact that you're Machben on the Achila, which is a Chi of Misa, still doesn't prove that the guy's not an Eved. That's a problem with Klal in this Sugya, that we sort of mush together the whole element of Truma because of its Chumrah and don't focus on what do we mean when we're being Malami Mitruma Liyos. It isn't Achilas Truma per se that's going to be a riot.
Oh, it could be talking about it already has separate Chazal.
Yeah, but that would be a particular case, but we certainly can't institute for that case. Alright, so now, continuing to go on, once we're already raising this issue, so what indeed is the various we'd like to see, what allows us to assume that somebody is a Kohen that is Miuchas? So here we see a Machlokas Malami Mitruma Liyos. We have other questions. Would we be allowed to use a shtar in which someone is identified as a Kohen to prove that he's a Kohen? Now, when you say that, what do you mean in the shtar? That what? That witness signs, I so-and-so the Kohen do hereby sign as an aid? I mean, who's the aid on him? That's hard to believe, though, just because sort of like it's Beisiyach Lefitumai. I mean, that's not enough of a raya. Tzricha de kasiv be ani ploni kohen laviti mana mi ploni v'chatim usahad. How about the guy says, I, so-and-so, the kohen, oh, so and so, this amount of money. We have witnesses now that sign on this event that they borrowed money. And our question is, my, when the test, the witness signs, is the testimony to the event and only the event, or will he not sign unless everything is something that he knows about? In other words, will the witness say, wait a minute. I can't sign a document that says you're a Kohen. I don't know that you're a Kohen. So if he's testifying to Kohen Shebishtar, so the army to the entire Shtar, then he's testifying as a Kohen. If he's only looking at the $100 that it says, so then he's not, that doesn't even look at what the name is. I mean, look, I mean, if you're writing, you know, you're writing it, I need to know the whole deal. I know this is your name, man. Joe Ben Shmuel, I mean, but I don't need to know more than that. The importance is to identify him. Not signing. Not signing. Identify. Actually, Tosfos has a big problem. If you're going to say that an aide will not look at that, then we're going to run into a lot of problems in sugyas where you've got two people with the same name in town, in which you can identify between them only on the basis of kuna and so on. So how do we rely on shtarot, which does explain that. Obviously, where you have a problem, they're going to be very careful, because then that becomes the primary identification. But where it seems to be just sort of an adjunctive thing, then I look at it. Because it's irrelevant to the lender and the borrower if he's a Kohen. So what do I need to worry about that for? But of course, if I need to identify him, if in other words, if we know the famous case of Shnei Yosef and Shimon's, I know there's two Yosef and Shimon's, of course I'm not going to sign unless I know which one it is. They're for sure Akula Milta. So that's our question. In general, I don't have a particular reason to say that the witness would be makbid. What's the halacha vis-a-vis shtarot? Rav Huna and Rav Kista argue about this. Chalamar Malin, Chalamar Eino Malin. Okay, so we now have another sugya, shtarot. We have two sugya so far in terms of yichus, trumah leyichus, shtarot leyichus. How about, as the Gemara, ma'ala halav minisiyot kapayim leyichus? What about the question of a kohen that always walks up there, always does the birkat kohanim, and but nobody really knows that he's a Kohen. I mean, so can I say, look, this guy has been doing the Birkat Kohanim for the past 50 years, and he must be a Kohen? Or do we say, maybe not, maybe it's just a Mechutzav? And the truth is that this can be asked, Tiboy Laman Yomar Ma'alim, Yitru Ma'al Yuchasin, V'Tiboy Laman Yomar In Ma'alim. This does not follow necessarily in one direction or the other from the previous sugya. Look, Tiboy Laman Yomar Ma'alim. I mean, if you're going to say, Ma'alim Yitru Ma'al Yuchasin, I could say, look, of course, truma, which is an avon mita, is a serious thing. Surely, if the guy was a czar, he's not going to eat truma. So here again, we're confusing eating truma with the chalukah of truma. The assumption is that it's all one. We give him truma, and he eats the truma, and we wouldn't do that to be over on an isser misa. I mean, people are careful about that kind of thing. So over there, maybe, indeed, that's a good riot. But when it comes to nesiyut kapayim, oh, it's a big deal, you know, nesiyut kapayim, the guy wants a thrill. Over there, it's an isra say. I mean, it's sort of. It says kota barchu. In other words, you guys should be bavarit, not somebody. It's the implication of an isra say. Kota barchu velo zar. Right. I've never heard you make a brah.
So the salach maitel, the maitel with a non-coin can use a baruch Hashem. Like, I knew it's certainly sure the rabbis give it, say baruch Hashem, he's not a coin.
Is it going to be over? Even if he's not acting like a Kohen.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Thank you about that. Right. Oh, Dilma, so maybe it's different. Oh, Dilma lo shna. That's one way of looking at the question. I can look at it the other way. I could say, even according to Mandi Yoma, who says that Truma doesn't prove anything, maybe that's because Truma is mitachla b'tzin'ah. He's not sitting out there in public showing himself to be a Kohen to people who may say, what the heck are you doing up there? Walk into shul. There's bound to be somebody there. So what's he doing there? That's the main entertainment in shul. It's the complaint about something other. I mean, obviously somebody's going to make a fuss over it. So this Yud Kapayim, which is Farhesya, Ilav Koeinu, Kulei Lo Mechatzei, finish Napshe, guy can have such chutzpah to go up there, take the chance, having to face down all those people going to claim he's not a Kohen. Or perhaps, indeed, it's not that much of a difference to say that we're going to rely on it just because of Lo Mechatzei. So here we have a machlokas, Rav Chista v'Rav Avina, Chadamar Malin, Machadamar Ein Malin. So here the third sugya, we also have a machlokas. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asked Rava, what is the halacha vis-a-vis nesiyut kapayim to yuchasin? Now halot nesiyut kapayim to yuchasin. What do you mean, what's the halacha? I mean, it's a machlokas, you know, Rav Chista v'Rav Avina. Come on, man, I'm asking you the halacha. That's like asking a guy whether a lulav is kosher or not. So I'll tell you, this shita says it's kosher, this shita says it's not. I'm asking you if it's a kosher lulav. try to get a straight answer. So he asked him, give me a straight answer. Omale ana matnita yadana. No, no. I know him. All I know is a brayta. A brayta says like this. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gidola Chazaka. The concept of a Chazaka, once people are doing something, is a very, very powerful thing to take into consideration in Pesach, which defies a certain element of logic. Because even if you can't prove something, you see that the Chachamim accepted a certain level of Chazaka. Where do I see this? It's a pasuk, Shenema. Umibnei HaKohani. Now here we had Ezra, who was coming out basically when they left Babel, and he wants to go through the yichus of all of the people that he's bringing to Eretz Yisrael, the people that were in Eretz Yisrael, that were even more problematic because they had been marrying non-Jewish women and so on. So he goes to the various families, and he finds among the Kohanim, B'nei Chavaya, B'nei Hakotz, B'nei Barzilai, Asher Lakach Mibnot Barzilai Agiladi, which is very suspicious because Barzilai Agiladi was no Kohen. So he took now from the family of Barzilai Agiladi, Isha, V'yikareya Shema. And for some reason, they called these families the families of Barzilai Agiladi, which is not what you would expect we would do in cases of the Kohen. This raises Ezra's suspicion. So he goes to check and ask them to prove that they're Kohanim. So what happens is, they cannot prove that they are Kohanim. So they were Bikshu, Kitavama Mityakasi. They all got into the internet, went through the whole museum of the
genealogy websites.
The websites. They couldn't find enough of proof. Vayugoalu mina kahuna. They were sent away from the kahuna, they were not accepted. No. No. Gal nafshi. It's also questioning. Perhaps. I mean, I don't know the relationship of Giul to Giul. I mean, there may be none. Maybe you're right. But in any event, so they were set aside. Maybe you're right. They were set aside, right? I mean, but we do find.
Their original place was not a fayin.
The Megual is disgusting. So I think it's
Goal Nefesh. Is that what we mean?
No, Goal Nefesh. That's what Rashi brings from them. So, in any event, so what happened over there was they were set aside, and Vayomer Hatarshat Aleihem. So the Chemia, whose Aramaic name is Hatarshata, Moses was called Hatarshata, because since he was personally in charge of the bar in the palace, they had to be allowed to drink stam yayin. How can you have a bartender who brings the king wine and is unable to taste his own drinks? Can't do that. So they were matir, hatar, shata, they were matir to drink non-kosher wine in order for him to be the bartender. It was a good thing he was the bartender, because that's how he rebuilt Yerushalayim, basically. He used his relationship with the king.
His descendant of Nechemiah was a son-in-law who was a bartender.
That's your son-in-law? Okay. So there's strong grounds.
But my daughter is the best bartenders in the life.
She won a prize, no? Yeah. Okay. I hope with kosher wine. Fine. So he says to them, Natashata says to them, look, they knew that in the second Beit HaMikdash they did not have the Ashrat HaShchina. Therefore the Urim V'Tumim was not effective. So we can't ask any real source about proving your yichus. When a kohen arrives, you know, Mashiach will come one day, maybe you'll get back in. But right now, you can't eat from Kodesh HaKodeshim. So what does he say, Kodesh HaKodeshim? Amar lahem, he was telling them, and what's he adding? You go alum inakuna, go alum inakuna. So that's it, you're out.
You're out.
I'm out.
Not
Jewish.
So he must have been telling him like this. Hare atem becheskatchem. You know what? Be what you were until now. Okay, what did you used to do until now? V'ma yitem ochim, v'gola. While you were back in Babel, okay, what did you used to do? You acted as kohanim, so you were eating truma, which is kochi agul. You were eating truma, that was the only thing available. There was no Beis HaMikdash. Could have been eating kodesh. Okay. Avkan v'kochi agul, so continue to eat.
That was before the qualification.
What? No, after the disqualification. So you see from here, says Rabbi Yossi, it's unbelievable. Because Ezra, the only thing he says to them is, you can't do more than you did before. But that means, I mean, obviously they used to do Birkat Kohanim also in Bavel. So he didn't tell them he can't do Birkat Kohanim anymore. So even though they were Bayudalum and Akuna, he allowed them to continue to act out as Kohanim, despite the fact that they wouldn't be accepted as Kohanim here.
Something on
that? Or? That's true. So, yeah, they couldn't prove who they were. If we're going to continue to allow them to act as Kohanim, they walk at the shul and they do Birkat Kohanim. And because of that, we would be Male. So then, Hanik, even the Parsi Adai, also Lasukinu. Anybody who sees them doing Birkat Kohanim will say, ah, so now they're Kosher Kohanim, will go all the other direction again. So apparently, this, you ask me what the halacha is, I think we can rely on this Braita. The Braita is taking for granted, now it makes no sense. Braita is taking for granted that Ezra was able to be Mata the Siut Kapayim without a chashash of actually being Mala the Yochasim. There's your answer. You want my opinion? That's my opinion. Ain Marlin, you see from here, Ain Marlin. So, you want me to tell you my opinion? It's not my opinion, I'm quoting O'Brien. Well, we'll get there. That's the next piece. See? Everything in its time. Says Reb Nachman by Yitzhak to Rava, that's a weak opinion. If this is your whole proof, then I'm not impressed. I mean, obviously, this is a unique case. Shani Yochad the Riachas Kayu. I mean, everybody's going to know that something is screwing with these coins. Because all the other Kohanim are being allowed to eat, to do all the other things. These people, there was this whole famous place, it's recorded in Tanakh. I mean, everybody knows that these guys are not real Kohanim. They're sort of semi-Kohanim. Chazoka Kohanim. I mean, why would they come to be Malal Yochasim? Isn't it evident that this caused a tremendous tumult? So people know about this. So how can you bring a riot from here? That's how Rashi learns. Tosus learns that it's good for the original problem that is Riach Haskayah. Everybody knows that they're called Barzilai Agilati family, which they know is not Kahuna. So it's always going to be like, because the particular events right now are Nagea only for the next maybe 100 years, whatever. But their name is Barzilai Agilati. They were called after Barzilai, so that's always going to be Ma'arad HaKashash. It's going to bring back the old story. Because it's a famous thing. People are going to say, Kohanim, Barzilai Agilati, what's the meaning of that?
And that's the Chazaka?
That's the Rieh Chazaka. That's what makes their Chazaka weaken. Because they're being identified as non-Kohanim. And let me tell you something. I'm 100% right. Don't give me any expert, because Dilote Malach. Let me ask you something. If you hold your Malam and Trumal Yochasim, and you're saying over here, what is he going to do with this? Your Malam and Trumal Yochasim, and Nechemiah is saying, well, you can go on eating Truma, but you can't do anything else. Doesn't make any sense. You can go on eating Truma. So then basically we're telling them that they can be full Kohanim. Nobody brought a riot from here. You're going to bring me a riot from here for that too? So even you also have to be Moda. Why don't we say, Kiva Dachli B'Truma Atul Sukinu, Ela La B'Shum D'Riach Haskayu? Obviously, there is something wrong with this Chazaka. And everybody knows. And therefore, there won't be Malet. So you can't compare the two cases. Right, so then, if that's the case, so then what's the Gedela Chazaka? You're telling me there's no Chashash. Now everybody knows that something's wrong. There's no Chashash. There's a machlokes actually, whether to learn that this kasha is only based on what the Nachman Yitzchak said, or it's a kasha bichlal. Well, let's learn it like this. Okay, this is how Tosfos learns. So, what's the gedela chazaka? If you're telling me that I don't have any chashash in this case about Baal HaYuchsin, so then you're just telling me I have no reason to change anything. I don't know anything else that's not gedola chazaka. Just tell me that there's a thing called chazaka. I'll say, wow, I'm so impressed. So Bishleim, if you'll tell me there's a chash of Malo Yuchsin, okay. So, wow, I'm not going to take away what somebody had because of a chashash. Okay? That means that Chazaka, even though if you asked me in the first place, I would say, look, we can't allow these guys to eat Truma. God only knows what will come out of this. But if you're telling me, no, there's not really a chashash that anything's going to come out of this. So then you got a problem. Why did he say, Yedola Chazaka, Reb Yossi, in the Braita? Unless indeed there is a chashash. So how do you explain that? Must be, because generally speaking, we're not Malam. Well, no, I'd give you an explanation for that. Because Mikora, as our president pointed out, when they were in Chutzlars, what kind of Truma were they eating? They were eating Truma de Rabbanan. So it comes to them, Nechemia, and says, look, you were eating Truma, keep eating Truma. So, well, what are you, crazy? You're eating Truma, they were eating Truma de Rabbanan. Now you're going to say, because they had a Chazaka, they eat Truma de Rabbanan, would you allow them to eat Truma de Raisa? Why would we do that? An Ashta, Achob, Truma de Raisa? Now they're going to be eating with Truma D'Araisa Mamish, in which case, that's a tremendous, tremendous Gedela Chazaka. If so, then no. He's absolutely right. V'chi maskinon. T'mi b'yisema, v'chtan yadavshat. Hashten ami b'chuvin rabbonin achol. Of course, he wouldn't be matir in the Truma D'Rabbanan. How could he do that? He's still only allowing Truma D'Rabbanan. What would be Truma D'Rabbanan? It's all machlokas, whether non-daganti rosh v'yitzar in general. Even in Eretz Yisrael, it's called Truma D'Rabbanan. Or whether Truma D'Rabbanan would have to be Truma of Yerek or other minim or of things that were grown in a pot without a hole. There's a lot of possible Truma D'Rabbanan. But okay, in any event, whatever it may be saying, maybe saying even here in Eretz Yisrael, you're only going to be eating Truma D'Rabbanan. The Truma D'Rabbanan is a low echo. And indeed, there's no problem over here of Malin Leyuksin at all, because they're not eating Truma. When we said they were eating Truma, when we were talking about eating Truma, there was an Isser Misa. He's never mounted on to the Isser Misa. And therefore, this has nothing to do with Malin Truma Leyuksin. Because we wouldn't be Malin Truma Leyuksin. So then we're back with the problem. So then what's the Gedolah Chazaka then? There's no Gedolah Chazaka. We're not doing anything. There is just a chazaka, not gedolah chazaka. But the point is, the afagav higal amigza mishum truma deraisa lo gazrina. The point over here is that once we're going to allow them to eat already, I mean, they're eating now chutzlars to meila in chutzlars. No matter what they eat, it's going to be truma derabanan. So he's now being matir them to eat in Eretz Yisrael truma derabanan, and it's never going to occur to him to think what they're going to be able to be mafkin. What's truma deraisa? What's truma derabanan? If I allow them to eat truma, they're going to continue to eat. Obviously, we should be chayish for that, but Nehemiah said, "Wait a minute, take away what they already have." Gedolah Chazaka. So that shows how much Gedolah Chazaka, though it runs against what we should reasonably be chayish for.
Once they go to Eretz Yisrael.
No.